The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
According to a report from the Construction Industry Federation, in the second quarter of the year, there was continued growth in turnover and employment in the industry. Although the growth is a good sign for the industry, the CIF still says it needs increased government support and investment. To talk about all of this, we're joined by Hubert Fitzgerald, Director General of the CIF. Hubert, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Is it all good news?
No, it's all good news. There is an increasing output, increasing demand for construction services. But what we're concerned about is you're in an era of continuing increase in population, a continuing increase in demand for construction projects. And we would like to see a system where we would have a credible pipeline of infrastructural projects available to the industry moving forward.
We can talk about that in a moment, but the capacity of the industry is a big question that comes up again and again. Even, you know, Dara O'Brien announces housing targets and cautionary notes sounded then, have we the capacity to deliver on those targets, even if we have the money?
No, I believe we have the capacity. I mean, we've a strong flow of commencement activity currently on the housing market. They will be delivered and the industry is responding to the demand. The key question is to ensure that you have the required bank of planning permissions available in respect of projects moving forward. And that, in turn, requires services in respect of the various lands and the capacity to be able to contract services.
Yeah, I mean, there was a story during the week about a site in Cork that has permission to build houses, but there are no services. And that's the logjam.
That is the logjam. I mean, we've a population grown. We're going to have another 20% increase in population over the next 15 years. We've just come through an era where we've a 30% increase in population from the period 2001 to 2021. So we need to ensure we're planning for the future. We need to ensure that there's adequate funding available for water and wastewater infrastructure, for transport infrastructure, so that the required lands are zoned for development purposes, be that for employment creation opportunities, for housing. But we must be planning for the next 20 years.
Now, let's talk about a pipeline of workers. I mean, time was in the Celtic Tiger when we had lots of Eastern European workers coming here to help boost the numbers. And on my various programs, I used to talk about we were bringing in workers from the East to build houses for the people who were coming in to build houses. It was a kind of a circular thing. We don't really have the capacity to house a massive working force at the moment, do we?
Well, I mean, access to skilled labour is a challenge for all sectors at the moment. And the industry is responding to that. And I'd say that applies in any sector, be that in the financial, in the IT world. But we do need construction workers to come in and actually build the required infrastructure.
And where are they to live?
I mean, accommodation is available when we must ensure that we have infrastructure projects being delivered. We must ensure that we can actually build the houses that all the people need. And we do need to continue to attract workers from abroad and indeed encourage more school leavers to enter the construction industry.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get your workers from the indigenous population, it's obviously better because presumably they have accommodation within their own families, particularly younger workers who might be still living at home. But the problem is if you're bringing people in and they look at the cost of housing, they say, well, the wages are great and they are in construction, but most of that money is going on rent.
Well, I mean, 1,300 construction permits issued in 2023 and that actually for construction. And that was a fall off of what we had in 2022. And of the total construction employment permits that issued in 2023, construction only accounted for 4.5% of those. So, look, we must continue to attract school leavers into the construction industry. It is a very, very exciting industry to work in. There are many, many opportunities there with it for school leavers entering the construction sector. But we have a major challenge going forward in respect of delivering all the housing that's required for the next generation and indeed delivering the infrastructure. But we need proper planning. We need a bit of blue sky thinking and ambition now with regard to our national development plan.
Okay. Now, in terms of the workforce within construction, we know there's been a slowdown in the development of office accommodation because partly COVID and remote working and all the rest, and therefore the demand goes down. And therefore, even people with planning permissions may be a bit hesitant to start because they can't see the end point. They can't see potential tenants. How much mobility is there within that sector out of office development and into housing development.
There's been a significant transfer or mobility from the office development sector into the residential sector, into particular apartment developments. So we have seen a strong slowdown in the construction of offices. The environment has changed in that sector. And we have seen a movement of those staff and those resources into apartment building. And that's very, very welcome. But I think we need to ensure that we're going to create opportunities for the future planning permissions in respect of the residential sector.
Now, you talk about blue sky thinking. New technologies in the building industry, you know, if you're using prefabricated construction, doing it in factories, 3D printing, the use of cross-laminated timber construction elements. How geared up is the industry to those kind of modern developments that would speed up the completion?
Yeah, there are many, many formats of what we call modern methods of construction. An element of that is actually timber frame housing. And if we even look at timber frame housing, up to 50% of all new scheme housing are now timber frame. So we do have what we call insulated concrete formwork. We've light gauge steel systems, timber frame. They're all underway at the moment. A lot of precast concrete being used now in apartment developments. And these are all, you know, providing for faster method of building and alternative methods of building. So the industry is continuing to be innovative, very innovative in these areas to develop new products. Mm. Certainly in the case of the total modular units, there are challenges there in terms of the overall supply chain and the demand in respect of those modular units going forward. But there is scope for greater growth in that area. And the industry is working with various stakeholders and government in looking at all these options and moving it forward.
Now, you also point out that costs have gone up, the cost of materials, the cost of labour. So the cost of construction to the consumer, whoever it may be, someone who wants to build a hotel, an office block, or indeed an apartment or a house, it's expensive now to build.
It is, and a project must be viable for the builder to build and for the consumer to purchase it. In terms of inflation, I mean, we've had insulated materials going up by 8% in the last year. We've had cement go up by 6%, structural steel up by 3%. We've had an increase in all concrete products by 10% over the past 12 months. And these are all costs that must be factored into the viability of any project. That said, you know, there is a challenge. There is a large demand for projects and for schemes, and the industry is responding to that. So it continues to innovate, and it has a major challenge in actually addressing the major projects that are required for the future.
How would you regard standards within the Irish construction industry? Because many people commented when we had the Celtic Tiger constructions that you had tradesmen coming in, and there were by and large men coming in from Eastern Europe. And their standards were so much higher than the local people.
The standards in Irish construction are very, very high. And I would say they're very, very high compared to those that are applicable throughout the rest of Europe and beyond. We have actually a good enforcement system in place now in respect of standards. We have new building control regulations in place which require inspection plans to be adhered to during the construction process. There's particular sign-off required at various stages of construction projects. And every project must be certified to be meeting the required standards of building regulations before it's completed or before it's open to the public. And these are very, very effective standards.
But you still have a situation where the plan for fire protection, for example, is signed off at the planning stage, not in fact along the way.
There are critical inspections taking place now during every project as it is being built. That was the new requirement that was in place when the new Building Control Amendment regulations were introduced some years ago.
But who signs off on it? Are they not the professionals who are working on the scheme who sign it off and therefore have a vested interest in getting it done, or maybe they don't get paid unless they sign off?
They're signed off by an accredited registered engineer, building surveyor or an architect who are bound by their own professionalism and their code of ethics in respect of what way things are.
Are they financially liable if things go wrong?
And they're signing themselves on the dotted line that those works comply with the building regulations. So I would say that the standards and the culture of compliance within the industry is far, far stronger now than it would have been some years ago when there was no requirement for a mandatory certification of buildings as they were completed.
Now, one of the things you've mentioned several times is planning, forward planning, both for infrastructure and for the immediate needs of housing. How do you improve that? I mean, you talk about building maybe lots of houses for people to live in, be they houses or apartments or whatever, but then you've got to get them maybe from A to B on public transport.
Well, on planning, we have to look at, I mean, what is the population projection for the country moving forward? We have to look at the national planning framework that's currently being prepared by the government. We have to ensure that the required lands are zoned for development. But allied to that, we have to ensure that land is capable of being developed during the lifetime of the various development plans that are prepared by the local authorities. That's a critical issue. There are many, many lands throughout the country that have been zoned for development for up to 20 years now, and they're not capable of being developed because the required servicing and infrastructure is not in place in respect of those lands.
Now, who's if you'll pardon the expression, who's asked you a kick to get this thing to happen? I mean, Uisce Éireann are there to provide for wastewater disposal and for the supply of water to all schemes, and we've got ESB responsible for supplying power, local authorities for roads. So how do you get it moving? How do you get the infrastructure?
We need to ensure that there's a coordination between Uisce Éireann and the local authorities.
So is it down to the local authorities? If it doesn't happen, it's down to them.
Well, we need to ensure that the likes of Uisce Éireann has the required funding available to it in order to go and deliver on the required infrastructure that's required.
They put
a programme in place then to government to ensure they have the required funding. In the context of our budget submission that we've made to government, we're meeting with the Ministers for Finance and the Minister of Public Expenditure Reform in a couple of weeks' time. And one of the key items we're going to be saying there is that we need to ensure that funding is available for those key infrastructure deliverers, the likes of Uisce Éireann, so that it is satisfactory budget available to it to deliver on the many water and wastewater schemes that are required throughout the country. And we will need the same in respect of transport. But the critical point is that we've a growing population. There's an increasing demand for services. We will not see that development being delivered unless the infrastructure is in place to ensure that planning permission can be granted in the future.
So we need more of that infrastructure to be planned and built, which means more people from the construction industry, whether it's with Uisce Éireann or whether it's in the roads division of county councils, you need more people. And that's where we come back to capacity. And you take it from Peter to pay Paul.
And this is where we need to see an adequate pipeline. If we see a pipeline that these projects are coming to fruition and will be available for tender in 12 months, in 18 months or 2 years' time, the industry has the capacity to grow. Earlier on this year, we published our top 50 contractors list. And 36% of the turnover of our top 50 members come from the export sector. That is because they saw opportunities abroad in which they could actually increase their turnover and increase their businesses. I have no doubt whatsoever that the Irish companies can do the very same here at home, and that domestically we can benefit from that skill and the expertise in order to grow their businesses. But to do so, they must have confidence that all these projects are going to come to fruition and are going to be available for tender and construction within the next 12, 18 months.
Some of the listeners are obviously a bit cynical about all of this. Building sector able to build 80,000 houses in 2007. Explain now why we only built 25,000.
We had an absolute crash, as we're all aware. The industry has ramped up activity over the last couple of years thanks to the support from the government. I mean, the government introduced major initiatives which actually supported home buyers in actually purchasing their homes. They have been critical in supporting the supply of new homes going forward. It's imperative that those schemes are retained in place, because that provides the assurances to the builders that the buyers are going to be able to buy these houses when they're built. Yeah. And the challenge now is to increase that level of activity. That, according to the Housing Commission, we need up to 50,000 houses a year going forward. And we have to ensure that the industry ramps up, can deliver those. But it is all contingent on available zoned lands. It's available on infrastructure and services being available in place. And that's why we need adequate planning of this infrastructure now moving forward, because planning of this infrastructure takes a long, long time to deliver.
Cynics about regulation, what happened with mica and pyrite? And I think we know what happened. And there was no redress from the quarries, the people who supplied it. It seems there was no adequate testing of those materials before they were delivered.
There was a gap in the testing of those materials, I accept that. New standards have been introduced in respect of all the materials to be delivered. And allied to that is we've an adequate mechanism for tracing materials as they're brought to construction sites and the testing of those materials. So the testing of those materials and the sign-off on the projects at the critical stages of projects will minimise the potential for anything like that happening again in the future.
Effective long-term government policy and planning is what drives the infrastructure, construction and development sectors. I've never seen blue sky thinking in any of it. It's more like better late than never. That's from John. I observe a development of housing. It makes me ask questions. Why are the phases of development done like this? Because the phases are brought on, you know, cheap price for phase one, more expensive price for phase two, third phase, more expensive again. Why do builders do that? Why is
if we look at construction price inflation over the last 12 months, 18 months, it has been quite significant. Any increased costs that come into the construction of a house must be factored into the purchase of the next phase. The industry is responding. I mean, we have seen such an increase in house building activity over the last number of years. I'm confident that can be maintained going forward. But it is dependent on us securing that the planning permissions and the infrastructure is in place to make that happen.
Well, it's a very interesting report from the CIF. It's actually obviously a very positive report in so many ways. So a good sector to get involved in, I suspect.
It is a great sector to get involved in. If we look at the size of the industry, we're talking about a €32 billion industry. There's direct employment of 171,000 people in the industry at the moment. There are such a wide range of career opportunities available to people within the construction sector. I'd be encouraging anybody in considering a career in construction to look at the options, because it is a skill that can be carried anywhere with them, and very, very, very satisfying.
All right. Well, Hubert Fitzpatrick, the Director General of the CIF, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.